Let's turn to page 56 when we all get to heaven.
To keep the church in prayer for safety. I'm thankful how God's provided and protected throughout all of this. Many months now, it's hard to believe it's already middle of August, and we've been doing this since middle of March, so it's been a game that we've been playing for a while now. I'm thankful for the safety that God's given for the church. I ask you to pray for the Bond family. Of course, Brother Glenn Bond passed away Wednesday. They would have celebrated, or they... Sister Jolene celebrated their 49th wedding anniversary yesterday. And so do keep that family in prayer. I ask you to remember my dad in prayer. He's in the hospital, and pray for him. Mom had called this morning, or talked to me this morning, said that he's got a blood clot, a deep vein blood clot in his right leg, and some cellulitis starting up. He had went Thursday to get tests done on his leg. They had to drive to Shawnee, which was a several-hour drive. By the time they did some tests on circulation, his circulation was great. Doctor thought that it was more skin problem that he was having on his leg, and so they sent him home and made an arrangement to see a skin doctor up in that area. That's his specialty, and then he ends up having difficulty today. Now you say, preacher, I mean, it's his bad leg already? No, this is in his good leg. And so now he's got both legs messing up, so do pray for them. Of course, pray for him and healing. Pray for my mom through all of this as well, and direction. Really need some answers right now is what they need, and so keep them in prayer. And do ask you to remember our social distancing, and I appreciate your faithfulness to come. I'm trying to keep everyone safe. You want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You don't want to wear a mask, I'm not going to make it mandatory, but I do want you to respect everyone. And remember that it only takes one, and it only takes you being around or exposed to one to bring it to everyone else. I've told you before, I'm not having missionaries in right now just for the fact that if there was a mad cow pandemic out there, I wouldn't bring it into the herd. I wouldn't bring a strange cow into the herd. So praise the Lord, we won't have any strange heifers. Amen. That's a female cow. Amen. But do pray for the safety of all of our missionaries. This is a difficult time for missionaries and evangelists right now. And I know I'm kind of one of those odd ones. We've got plenty out there that say that we're just going to go on business as normal. But it goes back to that gray matter that God's given you. Let's use it. Let's be wise. Let's respect one another. And let's keep each other safe, because we care for each other. Last thing I want to do is preach your funeral. And I mean that. I don't want to preach your funeral. And so I definitely don't want to preach your children's funeral. Amen. Yes, ma'am. There's a lot going on right now. We had been praying Wednesday night. We found out about the bus accident. I do know it was fatal. I don't know how many had died there in Alma. And, you know, it's tragic when you think about a child, but yet I know God's still in control. And it doesn't matter, old or young, death is no respecter of persons. And I'm thankful for God being in control and loving us through all of it and giving us the strength to keep going. Do something unique. Normally, we only sing happy birthday when they're here, but Brother George is going to be how old? Anyone know? 92, 93? More than that? I don't know. We'll take. Brother George is going to get a CD of this, Lord willing, as long as everything. Last couple of weeks, they haven't got Sunday mornings because Ty Mike's been messing up. But going to get a CD, and we're going to sing happy birthday to him. We could take a poll. We could get him up there to. Anyone got 101? All right, we'll put him at 101. Brother George is in his 90s, and I do know that for sure, and I'm thankful. I lose count of it, and if you ask him, he's going to tell you he has two birthdays a year as fast as they come. And it might be 98 by now for him. Amen. I don't know. He's not really 98, but he might feel like he's 98. So let's sing happy birthday to Brother George. We'll get him a copy of the CD. I take him one every week, and let's sing happy birthday to Brother George. All right, here we go now. Sing it like you 90-some years of happy birthdays, all right? So let's make this one really count, all right? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. All right, brother.
All right, well, let's stand and turn and let's get our folders out. I know we ain't been singing out of them much, but let's get our folders out and page 3, I'll Fly Away. One we ain't sung in a while. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's relentless shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Fly away.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you may be seated. It's good to have everyone. Amen. Let me get the tie mic on. We'll get it going. We'll get things set up. And this week before last, I forgot to turn it on. Last week, the battery decided that it didn't want to work. And this week, Lord willing, we'll have everything working. I did just turn it on. Amen. And we've got a test. Jacob, can you hear me back there? I guarantee you I'm on today. Amen. And I'll try not to be too loud. It's don't touch anything, Jacob. I want it there. I spend about 30 minutes messing with it. Amen. And do pray. Brother Kerry's not here this morning. I was kind of shocked he's not here. And I'm thankful for his faithfulness as well. It's definitely good to see him. He usually shows up about 10 o'clock, and he will be here doing and going and ready to go, ready for church. He's just sitting here waiting for everyone else to get here, waiting for the service to start, and I'm thankful for his faithfulness. You know, it's good to be missed. It is. I was telling you before service, or as we were starting service, Jeremiah does notice. He notices when you're not here, and he asks about you, and it's just the way it is. And tonight when we come, and it's just going to be us here at the church, and we're going to be on YouTube, I know it's not the same. I know that. But it's what we have right now. And it is a church service. We're all in here together. I might not be able to see a thumbs up or a hey, good preaching, amen, whatever. That's fine. I'll preach like you're in here anyway. I can't tell you how many times I come over to Brother Stephen and just holler at him, amen. He needs a good hollering at. He needs a good hollering at. Look at him. I'm not lying. Look at him. It's easy to tell he needs hollering at. Amen. Mark chapter number 2. How many thought I was going to say 2 Corinthians chapter 6? How many is afraid? How many wore steel-toed boots today? You're like, that preacher, man, he was mean last week. No, listen, I don't ever want to preach mean. I'll preach straight. That's fine. I'll even preach hard. But I don't want to preach in a mean spirit. And I'm thankful for how God works and how God deals. I'll be honest with you, that message needed to go viral. Last week's message needed to go viral on YouTube. You want to know why we have COVID? Because no one's listening to last week's message. I'm telling you, if God's people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek His face, then He'll heal the land. Amen. You want to know why we have all the issues going on that's going on? It's not just been a COVID year. It's been a whole uncertain year. Amen. But God's still in charge. Mark chapter number 2, when you get there, let's stand. I've honestly got about 3 messages out of this. I'm only going to preach one of them this morning. I'll preach the second one tonight, unless rapture takes place, and then whoever wants to come and preach it, you can preach it. Amen. I won't be here. Lord willing, if we're here next week, then I plan on preaching it out of Luke 5. Same passage. And same account, just a different passage. A couple things I want to point out. God has really allowed me to study this out. I've been chewing on this idea, or these 3 passages. It's found in Matthew 9, it's found in Mark 2, and it's found in Luke 5. And once you grab a hold of it, or I guess once it grabs a hold of you, you'll think about it for a little while. Mark chapter 2 is where I'd like us to read today. In verse number 1, he says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man
speak blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God? In verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for the day. Lord, it is a blessing to be back in your house today. It is a blessing to just be able to rejoice in your truths. And Lord, as we come today, I pray that you would help us to understand the application, help us to understand our part in this passage of Scripture, Lord, where it wouldn't just be a great story that we can hear and be able to rejoice and see the work that was done, but instead, Lord, that you would engage us. Lord, that you would apply it in such a way that we would have this desire to go out and tell others. Lord, such a desire to see your work continue on. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us today. Father, maybe one that's here that's discouraged, maybe one that needs to be saved. Lord, you know the need of every heart that's here. And I pray that you would just lift them up. And I pray, Father, that no one would leave here today without you dealing in their heart. But then, Lord, without them surrendering and submitting unto you. And Father, we'll all rejoice and say how good it's been to be in the house of God. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You ever had times that you need help? You know, there's been some area. Maybe it was something too large to move, or maybe it was just something too awkward to move. It's not that you couldn't come and lift it and move it. Brother Scooter, I could pick this up and I could carry it. I'd have to put it on my back. I mean, as far as the physical weight of it, I could easily move it. But it would sure be good to have another hand on this side so that I didn't have to try to put it under my back. And maybe it's even just the fact that you need someone to put that finger on the knot so that you can tie it. But why is it that when we think about spiritually, we don't really need help? Oh, sure, we come to church and we want God to do something. We want some help. But I mean, we really need some help. We need some others to help bear the load. We need some others to go along beside us. And that's how God's designed it. Amen. You see, it's not so that one can carry all the load or so that one does everything. And it's not so that we really do have a restaurant mentality. I was talking to Sister Sarah. I said, I'm afraid that we have a restaurant mentality in church today. He said, preacher, what's that mean? Well, we drive up, we expect everything to be served, then we get up and we go our merry way. And that's really the restaurant mentality, but that's not what God's designed. You see, God's designed it to where we all carry the load. We all go together. And I know some of you are already thinking about the work that needs done or the work that we're in the middle of COVID. Preacher, I don't want to come up here and clean right now. In fact, I don't want you to come up here and clean. I've got it to where only two people, and I know where I've been. I don't know where you've been. Amen. I'm being honest. I'm trying to limit down how many people are up here and how many people are doing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual things. Spiritually. And so often we think about the physical things. Listen, it's easy to drive by and see that the grass needs mowed, or it's easy to drive by and see that something needs picked up or whatever. I'm not talking about those things at all. But may I tell you that God's designed it so that we could help each other spiritually. God has left us here for each other. We could look around. We could look from side to side and from front to back and back to front, and everyone that's in this sanctuary. And boy, Sister Duke, maybe they went and they Googled romper room so that some of them could understand what romper room is. But we could bring out that romper room glass again, and we could look through the YouTube channel, and we could see all those that are out there. And may I tell you that they're all here, that every one of us are left here for each other. I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought I was left here for the Lord. No, hold on a second. In order to glorify God, you're going to have to work together. I find here in this passage of Scripture that in Mark chapter number 2, it says that this one man was born of four. B-O-R-N-E. All right, that doesn't mean that they were born. It means that they were born. And some of you would say, well, preacher, what's that definition mean? Well, we would say simply to carry. Brother Steve, if I could have got a litter, I would have loved to have got a hold of a litter. Some of you are going, what in the world is a litter? Brother Jackie, you know what I'm talking about. And we could have had some litter carries. Go ahead and do it with one person. That's a litter drag. Some of you are looking at me like, what in the world is a litter? It's nothing more than a stretcher without wheels. It's all handheld. It's like a small equipment operator. You say, preacher, I'll be a small equipment operator. Well, I have some shovels. Some of you are going, Brother Russell, you're a small equipment operator. No, I don't want to operate that small of equipment. But I think about this man, and we'd say, well, he was carried. Because really that's what this is meaning. This is the context that it's in. He was born of four. He was carried, or he was conveyed, or he was supported by these four. But may I tell you that this word born, actually, if we would go back and we would study it out in the deeper meaning of the Greek, it would mean to lift up. I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought that would be carried. No, hold on a second. Think about this in a spiritual aspect. They brought this man that was unable to come, and they lifted him up to the Lord. Although they lowered him down. Hold on! It means to be elevated. They took this man that was so bound by his sin that he was stuck in the bed, and they elevated him up to where he could get some help. I'm talking about the fact that he was born of four. Means to lift up, to raise up, to elevate. And there is a significance in the four. I'm not real big on Bible numerology. I don't know how many have ever heard of it, but Bible numerology means the numbers mean something. Numbers mean something. Seven, of course, is one of the most common. It's speaking about completeness, that God, on the seventh day, He rested. But the number four has a sense about it. It is the sense of totality. May I tell you how important it was that there was four in that group? Could you imagine, Brother Russell, if we were to come up here and you was just to pick up a corner of it, and I was to come over here and I would pick up this other corner, it would be kind of lopsided. Maybe it's even the fact that there was supposed to be four, but there was only three. No, hold on. If we would look at the born of four and the totality of it, it took all four of them in their place doing their job in order for this man to get where he needed to be. You say, preacher, how does that apply to me? Glad you asked. Because there's a lesson that we need to learn from these four. As we think about totality, may I tell you that God didn't leave it here for four of us to be spiritual. He left it here for all of us to do the work of the spiritual man. Not the fleshly man. I'm not even talking about the physical things. Go back for a moment, because it's easy for us to see the physical things. It's hard for us to do the spiritual things. God's left us, and it's going to take all of us to do the spiritual work that God has for us. But we'll rejoice when He does. We'll rejoice when we see it. And so I look here, give you a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, a very familiar verse to most, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and as the matter of some is, but notice this, but exhorting one another. How many have ever been spiritually drained? Spiritually tired? It's easy to be spiritually tired. It's easy to get weak in the spirit. And yet if we would come and encourage each other, because we're all doing the same work, we're all doing the same approach. God's left it for us to learn. Notice, if you would, we find four. Born of four, first of all, we find their way. May I tell you, it was in one accord. It was in one accord. If we're going to do anything spiritually, it's going to be in one accord. Not a single one of them were arguing about the direction. Did you notice that? I mean, not once. Now, I could put four. I was thinking, as I kind of surveyed out here, most everyone is at this. I'm talking about the men here. Brother Duke, you're just a little bit taller. Brother James, you're a little taller. But for the most part, we're all pretty well. Well, I know, Brother Scooter, you didn't want me to say it, but Brother Scooter's here. But I mean, if you just kind of look at the average, Brother Russell, you're a little taller, but I can pick Brother Richard, I can pick Brother Stephen, Brother Jackie, Brother Sutton, even Brother Stephen myself. And boy, we're all pretty well right there at that same height. And Jacob, I'm not even counting you. But I don't want to hear your back hurts. But listen, there's a whole lot of people that whine about their spiritual back hurts. That's why they don't carry the load. And actually, what I like to always share, remember how I'd tell people that my back hurt because I was carrying the load? Amen. Yeah, you can carry the load. But listen, they didn't argue about what direction. You put four guys up here and you tell them that the end result, and each one has their own idea how it's going to work. Each one has their own desire of what direction they're going to get there, what path they're going to take. Those on this side may say it would be easier for us to come around this way. Those on that side might want the other way. But not one time do we find these men complaining or arguing or conflicted idea. It was the fact that they knew the priority was to get that man to the Lord. And how often are we so focused on the wrong direction? They were all in step. Brianna used to be in the marching band, and I used to pick on her because I can't stand to see marching bands out of step. Know what I mean? You can see it. That one goober. You know, that one that's not marching with the rest of them. Everyone else is off, right on. I mean, it just looks picture perfect. And then this one, when they're going up, they're supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about? You know what? I've seen it. May I tell you how they were carrying this litter? All in step. Each one was walking in the same step. Otherwise, that guy with palsy would be going. I know you're going to say, preacher, I don't understand how this works. No, I'm serious. But spiritually, we need to get in step. If you're here and you're going, preacher, I am way above what you teach. There was not a single one of them that said that. Hold on. I hunt with a shotgun in the church. I do. I'm not precision shooting here. I'm hunting with a shotgun. I'm trying a shotgun blast to cover all of you. And that means I've got to feed from the youngest, or we could even go to the youngest to the oldest. And I'm not pointing my finger there. But is it not the fact that they're in step? And the one that was more mature was willing to wait on the one that wasn't. And the one that wasn't mature wanted to step up to be with the one that was. Why? It was important for them to get this man to the Lord. And so I look at their way. They were in one accord. They were willing to step up. They were willing to help mold. Notice, if you would, in the book of Philippians. Take your Bibles, Philippians chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 1. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says that if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It wasn't so that one could say, look at how much I'm carrying. And we're going to get to how much each one was carrying in a moment. It wasn't about that. It was about the fact that they wanted to be a part of it so that they could get this man to the Lord. It was about the fact that it wasn't about them at all. What was their names? What was their condition? What did God heal them from? None of that matters, does it? You say, preacher, why is that? It doesn't matter because it wasn't recorded. Or it would have, if it mattered, it would have been recorded. And he says, don't let it be a vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man so also on the things of others. May I tell you, they were in one accord. They had one agreement. The necessity to get this man to the right place. You know, their way was determined about where Jesus was. And so we find their achievement. You say, preacher, what was their achievement? Bring him to the truth. Bring the man to the truth. I believe it's verse number 2 of our text that it tells us here what Jesus was doing. You know, it's so often that we don't want to bring someone to preaching. In fact, it's the very end of verse number 2, and he preached the word unto them. What was he doing? He was preaching. And they didn't say, hey, there's a good gospel sing. There's an unsound phenomena going on. Hold on. I love camp meetings. I'm not going to a whole lot of camp meetings. For one, I'm not going around a whole lot of people. But for two, there's a whole lot of show there. There's a whole lot of show. There's a whole lot of people that really don't believe what they say they believe while they're there. And it drives me nuts. It does. It gets under my skin. I'm one of those kick the door down preachers. I get tired of it. I don't think that we should fake it in the church. Why in the world would you fake it at a camp meeting? Amen. Just a thought. But they said, look, we've got to get this man to the truth. They were taking him to the Lord. Why? Because there's only one Savior. Right. Amen. There's only one Savior. There was only one place that he needed to go. It's amazing to me that we don't want to take someone to the house of God because there might be some preaching, and I know I'm a loud preacher. I cannot change that. God hasn't changed it in me. I can't change it. God hasn't changed it. You understand where I'm going? Yeah. Amen. I know I'm a loud preacher, and I know there's some that are going to be offended in the way that I preach, and it's okay. It's not how I preach, it's what I preach that matters. It's the fact that the Word of God was what was being preached. May I tell you that Jesus is the Word. They took Him to the Word. It wasn't. Listen, that man could have been healed from sitting outside the door as long as he got under the Word. And he would have found that he was a sinner, and the only thing that was keeping him bound to that bed was his sin, and that he needed to come and call upon Christ and to save him from all damnation. Woohoo! I'm telling you, they had one achievement. Let's get the man to the Lord. And we've got this place that we've kind of corrupted some things. Let's clean them up. They kind of stink. I don't know. I'm not as great of a scholar as some of these other men that are out there that would be able to describe to you the smell of this man with palsy. I can tell you that palsy is a motionless. The man, well, we'd call him a quadriplegic today. He wasn't doing anything for himself. He was just laying there. I can't tell you what he smelled like, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you it wouldn't have been really great. You ever been to a nursing home? Been around a lot of people that haven't been able to move on their own? There's some smells that just go with it. And so we've got this idea that the only thing we really need to do is clean them up. That's not where they were trying to get him. They weren't trying to clean him up. They were trying to get him saved. They were trying to get him to the truth. There was only one place to take him, and that was to the Lord. And so I find as well their work. Their work. I say, preacher, I knew you'd get to it. Well, I'd like to ask you how many of them knew this man. Now, I just kind of gave it some thought as I've been meditating on this for a few weeks. And how many of them knew this man? You say, well, he was born of 4. That doesn't tell me how many knew him. I mean, it doesn't mean that all 4 of them really knew him. It doesn't even mean that one of them even really knew him. They just knew his need. Hold on a second. Let that kind of sink in. We think that we only need to help those that we really know. But I want you to notice this. When we think about their work, look at their anxiety. Look at their anxiety. It wasn't about time. It wasn't about time. What time do we got to start? They weren't complaining about the time that they had to be there. They weren't even complaining about the time that they had before they got home. Now, hold on. I'm just going to go ahead and say that it wasn't going to be a short day. It was going to be something that you dread. Amen. It's kind of like when I have to figure the checkbook. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's not going to be a short day, and I dread it. I don't like to do it. I sit down, and so I can see these four guys going, we got to go get you know who. Don't tell him, but I really don't want to. Let's go. It's going to be an all day. Honey, don't put the roast on high. We're going to go over there. I heard everyone's already over there. Probably not going to find a parking spot anyway. Amen. And not one time do we see that these men were concerned one moment about the time that they were going to invest. I find as well they weren't concerned about the efforts that each one was going to put forth. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Now, I've already told you that physically in here, if we were to line up the men, we would have this pattern. We've got Brother James or Jacob. Which one of you is tallest? Brother James is tallest, so then Jacob, then Brother Duke, then Brother Russell are right there at it. And then it just kind of comes on down. Now, let's go ahead and put Brother James on one corner. And let's put Brother Scooter on the other corner. Same side. Just opposite corners. Say, what are you getting at? Well, Brother James is going to either have to come down a little bit, or Brother Scooter is going to have to come up a little bit, because it's not going to be comfortable. I look here and I find that they weren't concerned with any of those things. They weren't concerned about the temporal. The efforts that they put forth showed how much they really cared. Now let me put this into application. They were worried about the soul, even if they didn't know him personally. How many have been praying for Paulie Williams? You say, preacher, who in the world is Paulie Williams? Well, she's been on the prayer list for several months now. How many know Bill Valentine? How many have been praying for Bill Valentine? How many have been praying for Brantley Ballard? You say, preacher, who are all... We just put Brantley on Wednesday. A four-year-old little boy, almost five, that needs a heart... He's going to need a heart transplant eventually. Needs a surgery. Listen, this is what I'm talking about. You say, well, preacher, you know, I'm praying. Why do we even have a Wednesday night prayer meeting? So that we can see the man lay on the bed and do nothing about it. Hold on. We put them on there. Now, listen, I don't know. Maybe someone put them on there and really didn't know anything about it, but just kind of hearsay, and then they forgot about it too. And you know where that man is? He's still at his house, sick with palsy, and no help. I don't have to know him. You know, some of the greatest joys that I've had, Sister Edra, I remember meeting some of your family that we had prayed for. I had never known them until a funeral took place, and then I got to meet them. Same thing with Brother George and Sister Cynthia and their family. Several others in the families that I never knew them. We'd put them on there, and we prayed for them, and we cared. But I wonder how many of us grabbed a hold of the corner of the bed and picked them up and helped carry them to the Lord. I wonder why we don't see more spiritual things done today. I wonder why so many would be so amazed and they'd say, we've never seen it in that fashion before. Has God changed? Or have we just got lazy? Have we just got lazy? And we've said, well, you know, I'm going to do the best I can. I've wrote them down, and preacher, I'm going to keep them right here in my Bible. And preacher, I don't know that I necessarily have it memorized now, but I used to have the lost souls memorized because I prayed for them so much. That's to my shame. They should still be memorized. We've had, over this last few months, I've had so many that we've added that I couldn't even tell where my scratches all went. But how much does this really matter? Is it just a piece of paper that we're doing a formality? This is what we've always done. Some of you have never been here when I haven't done this. I wonder how important it is to you. James chapter number 5, if you would. James chapter 5. James 5, I want you to look at verse number 14. James chapter number 5. Verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Do you think that that's these four men carrying this one man to the Lord? How did they carry him? I'm talking about a spiritual aspect. I'm not talking about the physical carrying. But they lifted him up. They raised him up to the Lord. What needed to be forgiven? It wasn't some illness that he had. Truly, we've taken the Bible out of context. We're healed by the stripes. That's not speaking about a physical healing. The great physician, it's not speaking about a physical healing. The healing that everyone needs. You see, the problem is so many people go, well, there's really nothing wrong with me. But may I tell you, everyone needs the great physician to heal them. And the condition that everyone has is sin. In verse number 16, confessing your faults one to another. And pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at verse number 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. I wonder if we don't see the heavens open up and the earth bring forth its fruit because we aren't praying. Because we're really not in the spiritual game. If I was to call someone and say, hey, I've got something that needs done, or I know I could call anyone and they'd say, sure, I'll be there. What time? When do you need it? What all do I need to bring? May I tell you, it's time that we get a hold of this spiritual game. It's the fact that there's a spiritual application. It's not that this man needed to physically be brought, but he needs spiritually brought to the Lord. And yet we find that there's corners empty. And so I find their activity, not just their anxiety. They weren't concerned with the temporal, but I look at their activity. Each one was involved. Each one was involved. Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. I'd ask us today, if we're so busy examining what everyone else is doing or not doing, that we do absolutely nothing. Because I'm paying more attention to what Brother Russell's doing, and I'm not on my work that I need to do. Caleb, can I be honest with you? I believe I could pick you up and carry you up a ladder. Now, I've set one up outside. We're all going to move outside, and I'm going to carry... No, I'm joking. He's like, I don't know if you can. Do you not trust me? Jeremiah would be fine. I could throw him over. I could just carry him like this. Caleb, I'd probably have firemen's carry you. Jacob, I could, if your knuckles wouldn't drag on the ground, I could probably firemen's carry you. But the rest of you, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. I could definitely carry the babies up. Amen. But listen, Terry, you'd probably be all right too. Allie, you'd be all right. But I'm sorry. You ever carry a dead body or a limp body, an unconscious body? There's a difference. There's a difference. They don't help you. It's going to take more than one. Amen. You don't even have to be what society considers to be obese. You're just dead weight. I'm not trying to be ugly. I just want you to understand this. One man wasn't going to carry this man with palsy by himself. It took everyone doing their part. The totality. Sister Edra, I do not expect you to climb the ladder carrying Brother James with me, okay? But you better be praying for us as we start climbing that ladder. Amen. Because, you see, in Nehemiah there, each one returned to their work. It doesn't mean all of them were making big stones into little stones. There was other work that each one was doing, but it's the fact that we're to go to our work, where God's placed us. And may I tell you, on the spiritual side of it, everyone in here can pray. Everyone in here can read their Bible. Everyone in here can surrender to Him. Everyone in here can seek His closeness. Amen. That's your work. You say, preacher, I don't know what He's called me to do. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? That's the start. If you're not doing those, that's where you need to start. If you're doing those, He's going to show you. I'm serious. I know it sounds, oh, preacher, that's too easy. Aren't you glad God knows how small we are? Aren't you glad that He didn't put all of the burdens of this world on you? All He said is, trust me. Are you walking in faith? That's a spiritual work. It's to walk in faith. And so I look here at their activity. I wonder how many of us are doing anything. But I find as well in Mark chapter number 2, I find their witness. The results of their witness resulted in the salvation of a friend or for a friend. You say, preacher, I thought you said that none of them knew it. Once he was saved, they all knew it, didn't they? Once he was saved, he was a real friend, wasn't he? They witnessed a new birth. How many people in here don't get excited about a new birth? Brother Steve, you just got a brand new grandbaby. First grandbaby, isn't that right? Amen. You're so ashamed, aren't you? I mean, he came in here and had to tell me about it. In fact, he was one. I seen him. He didn't wear the name tag, but it was written across his forehead. Ask me about my grandchild. I got pictures. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, I'm excited for him. That's his first grandchild. I can't wait till my boys get married. Hey, man, that means Jacob's not at my house. Jeremiah thinks he's going to live with us when he gets married. He's four. Jacob knows better. Amen. But listen, and Jacob, I'm just messing. I can't wait to see Jacob's children. Because they're going to give him as much grief as he gave me. Amen. I'm excited. How many don't get excited about a baby? Why is it that we aren't excited to see souls saved? Church should be full of them. A nursery should be full. I'm not talking about the babies in the back. I'm talking about spiritual babes in Christ. And not because they've been saved for a long time and still spiritual babes. No, because they're getting saved. And boy, we see folks get saved and we should be excited. We want to see folks saved. You understand the joy that came from this? Because someone decided to pick a man up and carry him and lower him down and do the effort that was going to be necessary. And they never gave up. Luke chapter 5, in this account, it says, and immediately in verse 25, immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. If I could back up to this morning when there was a knock on the door and Mrs. Palsy came to open the door. And there's four men standing at the door. I don't know that she knew what was going on. But one of these four men would have said, we're here to get Mr. Palsy. We know that Jesus is in town. We know that He can help him. Oh, I can hear Mrs. Palsy now saying, "Oh, sir, you know, we've tried the doctors and we've tried all of these things." He said, "But yes, but Jesus can touch him and he'll never be the same." I can see the children as Mrs. Palsy brings them in to the room where Mr. Palsy's laying. And little Palsies are asking, "Mama, where are they going to take Daddy?" "I don't know. This Jesus is in town. They said that he can help." Woo! But I want you to understand, when Mr. Palsy left the house, he was being carried out on a bed. But when he came back, he said, "Honey, they didn't take me to anything but the Redeemer. They didn't take me to a reform. They took me to the Redeemer. Oh, I carried my bed back home. I didn't have to be carried back. Oh, I didn't need a new program. I needed a Savior." I can just see it as he comes walking up the drive and the little palsies go, "Mama, there's this man walking up the drive. It sure looks like Daddy. And he's carrying a bed. Oh, Mama, come see. Is this Daddy?" And he walks in the door and he says, "I'm home and you got a brand new Daddy now." Listen, can we not be excited about the soul being saved? But I find as well that because of their witness, it resulted in glorification for their Savior. The multitude that was present in verse number 12 of our text, we find here that they glorified God. The man without palsy. You say, "Preacher, I thought he was the man with palsy." No, he's without it now. And he's without it forever. He was glorifying God on his way home. But I even find these men, with their purpose, glorified God. You say, "Preacher, how do you see that?" I'm reminded about 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 31. And the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You know what they were doing? They were living their life for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink. I know that may seem simple, but when's the last time that everything that you did in your day was to glorify God? Everything that you woke up in that morning and you set out, "I'm just going to glorify God with my entire being." That's what they did. Oh, they had a purpose about them. What was their purpose? To glorify God. That morning before they went to pick them up, you know what I feel that they did? Say, "Preacher, you're reading into it." "No, I don't care. When you preach this, you can preach it your way." I believe that the four of them got together and they said, "It's time to pray." Woo! Maybe they had a spirit about them. They wasn't sure what was going to happen. Maybe they didn't know what was in front of them. But they said, "We need to have a prayer meeting." You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" They were out to glorify God, and that we can't do it in our own strength. I can see them as they go to Mr. Palsy's house to pick him up. They say, "What are you really trying to get out of this?" "Oh, I don't even know that Mr. Palsy knew their name. I just know that Mr. Palsy knew where they were taking him. They were taking him to get help that he had never received before." Why? Their purpose wasn't about them. Their purpose wasn't so that they could be some well-known four. Boy, if they come, if the four come knocking on your door, you open it up, there's a good... No! You see, their entire purpose was for God. When's the last time we've carried someone to Christ? Not so that we can say we were part of it, but so that He can get the glory. I told you before, we don't know their names. I wonder when we get to heaven if they're even going to identify. I know we've always said that, boy, I can't wait. We're going to talk to the Apostle Paul and we're going to see Zacchaeus and we're going to get to ask him about all. May I tell you something? When we get to heaven, there's not going to be a single one up there that's going to be bragging about what they did down here for the Lord. They're going to be bragging about the Lord. So why don't we practice now? It's not about me. It's not about you. It wasn't about these four. I don't know. They're not going to wear a name badge that says 1, 2, 3, 4 and you're going to identify. "Oh, I remember you was number 3. Oh, you was the one that, you was one of them that carried that man with palsy." No, it wasn't about them at all. is about the one they took him to. Oh, my dear friend, we live in a time, and I'm not talking about sick with COVID. There was a man with a problem. It was called sin. It was called sin. May I tell you, it's been going on since the fall of man. May I tell you, it's going to continue to go on until the rise of the kingdom. Say the millennial kingdom? No, because there's going to be those that are going to rebel against Christ at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Read your Bible. It's in there. And that's a sin, by the way. Rebelling against the Lord is a sin. But no, after that judgment seat, the great white throne of judgment, there will be no more sin around us. Listen to me. Man's corrupt. Every single person that we can think of needs to be saved. And even those you can't. I wonder who's going to carry them to the Lord if we don't. I wonder who's really going to care enough. Listen to me. There's names on that prayer list. I have no idea. I try to look, put a little line by it, who's put them on there, so I can keep track. But I wonder how much when we put someone on that we really keep track. I wonder how much we really pray. And if we aren't, then why? And if we're not gonna, then why do we even bother? We're just playing a game. It's time today for us to carry the corner that God's put us on and lift them up spiritually, because someone needs to be elevated to the Lord so that He can. I know the Bible says that He saw their faith. You know why it's so important? Did you notice in James 5? The prayer of faith. If those four men wouldn't have had faith, they would have never taken him. I know that God answers prayer. I do. I believe in a prayer answering God. Otherwise, why? Let's just cancel Wednesday night service. We don't need it anymore. We don't need a prayer meeting. I believe it's still not a waste of time. I believe it's still necessary. Isn't it time to grab a corner and be where God wants us to be? Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Father, I thank You for the lessons that we can learn through this passage of Scripture. Lord, that it's not important that I know or even know how to help someone. I don't have to know who they are. I just know that they need to come to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to be found faithful in lifting them up to You. And then, Lord, as I think about those that, Lord, so often we get distracted. I'm thankful these four men didn't drop a corner. Father, help us today that we don't drop a corner. Take this invitation. Use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'd encourage you, maybe right where you are, you want to pray. I'm not saying that the altars aren't open. If you want to come up, that's fine. God spoke to your heart. You want to pray in the pew? Just don't get used to it. There's going to be a time where the altars will be packed again, and I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day. But may I tell you that today is the day God can grab a hold of you. How's your prayer life? How's your spiritual work? You say it's where it's supposed to be? Are you one of them that He wants on a corner that the corner's left open? And someone's had to slide across. How about you, my friend?
So I can see the dark.
Are you so worried that it has to be your way?
You saw it that day.
That you can't get in step.
Give me tears that.
Is it time that you step up to where you can take a corner?
Flow freely to the ground.
Say, preacher, if I devote to taking a corner, that means I'm going to have to drop some other things. Maybe it's time we drop them.
And guilty I'll be found.
God speaking to your heart. My dear friend, there's not a greater need that this world has. I'm not talking about our country. This world needs us to take a corner. Those that we love around us need us to take a corner. Everyone for coming today. I do appreciate your faithfulness. If you do want to give, the jug is in the back on the way out. I appreciate your attendance, your love for the church, covet your prayers, and of course tonight will be live on YouTube at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night will be in-house, and I still put it online. And just continue, be patient. Pray tomorrow. Most of the schools around us start back. Pray for the safety of these children, the teachers, the workers that are going to be involved. There's a whole lot. I know that uncertainty just seems to be the word of today, but it is scary when we think about our youth and everything that's getting ready to take place. So, do pray for the safety of everyone as they go back to school tomorrow. And, you know, used to, we just had to worry about traffic. I mean, that was our main concern, was you got knuckleheads that don't want to stop when a bus stop sign's out, or you got, you know, those that want to speed through the school zone. But now we've got something that you can't see. I had a preacher tell me that biblical quarantine is they quarantine the sick. Well, that's fine. For one, the sick did what they were supposed to. Those with leprosy, that's who they were talking about, they quarantined into a different place. And you could also tell if there were missing digits, you knew. Okay? Let's just be honest there. But today, we've watched right uptown is they had the Curtis Cooper truck out there. And they were doing COVID testing. We were getting ice across the street, and we saw this vehicle pull up. They came, they tested the individual. Then we watched as he drove around and flipped into the subway so that he could go get him something to eat. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" It only takes one knucklehead, and you can't tell. That man walks into Subway, he doesn't have a sign on his. He's not wearing the name tag that says, "Hello, I might have COVID." It's just a thought. And so pray for our kids. They don't know. And go ahead, you keep a mask on for however long they're in school. How many children are going to do that? Go to Walmart. I watch most people wear their mask with the chin strap. Amen. And so you pray for our teachers. You pray for our students. You pray for the bus workers. It's going to be different. And just pray for the leadership of our country, that it's not about their agenda, that it's about the American people. I still believe that it says "we the people" in the Bill of Independence, or in the Articles. We the people. That's us. It is still about us. It's not about the Republican Party. It's not about the Democratic Party. It's about we the people. And they forgot that. And it's a shame. Amen. That's my political speech for today. We'll put that on YouTube. We'll get it to where we're not a nonprofit anymore because the preacher's preaching politics. Amen. That's all right. China does the same thing. Amen. Amen. Brother Duke, you mind closing us in prayer?